2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Welcome back to the DFS Army Week 7 Waiver Wire podcast. I'm without Shane tonight, so I'm just going to speed through these. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our friends at Overlay.com. That's the new Stardom Sit'em game, OverlayDFS.com. Go check it out where they have progressive jackpots. With the Waiver Wire this week, it was interesting. Not a ton. A lot of it's getting a little repetitive. There wasn't too many new guys, but there were some interesting ones, so we'll hit on those. If you are looking for QB, Josh Allen might be there off of the bye. Definitely pick him up. Daniel Jones may have been dropped ahead of the matchup with New England. So those two are the top of my list. I think those guys have the most upside. Sam Darnold certainly looked good. Kirk Cousins just came off a pretty good week, and then Kyle Allen is the other guy that's on some waiver wires. Ownership percentages range anywhere from 50% to 10% on Kyle Allen's case. So in one QB leagues, just a few bucks to get them. If you're struggling at QB, Josh Allen certainly worth a 15% bid. I know some of us have spent a lot of our money, so we're just going to try to get those guys in the second wave of free agency or put in our $0 bids. Okay, getting into the offensive positions, running back. This week was interesting. Latavius Murray is 48% owned. I think that if you can pick him up for a few dollars, Alvin Kamara had limited snaps. He's certainly worth an $11, $12 bid. He's not a league winner by any means, but he's in a good offense, so I certainly would make him a priority. Chase Edmonds is the second running back. He's about 25% owned at this point. I think you got to go get him. One, if David Johnson goes down, he's certainly a top 17, 18 back, maybe even a top 14 back. And I think he's had some standalone value lately. So Chase Edmonds certainly looking like a good pickup. He was in sharper leagues. He was probably picked up already, but you got to go look and see if you get these guys. This is the time of the year, everybody, where you want to start getting those high upside running backs and putting them on your bench. And start, with those middling fifth round wide receivers, you may be just letting go of those Corey Davis types. If they haven't panned out by now, they're not going to pan out. And that leads me to our third running back, Alexander Mattinson. Every week I'm on the Waiver Wire podcast talking about why you should pick up Alexander Mattinson. He's a league winner type if Dalvin Cook goes down. He looked really, really good in his limited action. And a couple carries, but he just looks the part, man. So I certainly would pick up Alexander Mattinson if he's sitting out there. I'm loading up all of my teams with these high upside handcuff running backs now. And like I said, I'm cutting, these kind of wide receivers that you're just never comfortable using. Corey Davis is the one that comes to mind, but there's a bunch of others that qualify over there. Darrell Henderson, man, it's a mystery to me why he didn't get more work. He definitely looked more dynamic than Malcolm Brown. And this is not, any hardcore insight, but these are the type of players that I'm loading up my bench with, because come down the stretch, if you're still in it, these are the type of players that if you get them now for a buck or two, maybe $5-6, he didn't show anything that would make everyone push their chips in. I think people are going to be looking more for someone like Benny Snell, who is my next running back on Pittsburgh. He got 15 carries for 75 yards. He certainly looks like he could be an interesting play should James Conner miss some time. He was a little dinged up. And the only other running back I have on my list is Mark Walton. I picked him up in a couple deeper dynasty leagues. He certainly looks like the RB2 in Miami. I don't know how much that's worth, especially maybe now that Fitzpatrick's back, and we'll have to keep an eye on that. It would be pretty interesting. wide receivers. Wide receivers, Jamison Crowder, if he's out there, you can go pick him up. I'm just opening up my list right now. Shane sent me a couple names that he thought were interesting as well. But Dante Pettis, Auden Tate, Deontay Johnson, these are the guys that are the top of my list. Shane really liked Darius Slayton. He thought he showed a spark and could be interesting. Now, again, it's cheap advice to say to stash everybody because it's almost impossible to do. But I would certainly look to do that. Brandon Bolden, by the way, we never talked about him on the running back side of things. He's an interesting pickup too. Nothing more than a free or a dollar bid. It's Patriot games in the backfield. Getting back to wide receivers, Crowder, still only about 40% owned in Yahoo, 50% across the board. He is going to be Sam Darnold's look over the middle. Robbie Anderson, for no reason at all, will probably be out in your waiver wire. He's in the 60s or 70% owned, so he would actually be at the top. The Jets' offense looked really, really potent once Darnold got back in. Whatever you thought of the Jets in the preseason, about a 7-win team, I think you got to go back to those expectations, even though they started off the season really poorly. Auden Tate, you know, he on Cincinnati. We've been talking about him for a couple weeks on the pod. Definitely somebody you should pick up. You know, it's going to start to get real thin at receiver with the bye weeks. And then looking down the road a little bit, Devontae Parker, I believe, scored a touchdown this past week. N'Keal Harry, I mean, you know, if you can get him, if you have a spot on your bench, he is going to be coming back. The Patriots certainly need a dynamic receiver. We'll see. I'm a little dubious about N'Keal Harry, but certainly someone you could add to your bench. And Jerron Brown scored 2 touchdowns for the Seattle Seahawks this past week. Tight end is where it gets a little more fun this week. Tight end, now, if you own Will Dissly, you're heartbroken. I'm heartbroken. I only had him in one spot in a 2-tight-end league, so it's going to be a real struggle. The guys that are out there right now, Chris Herndon, you know, he might have been dropped after the news of his hamstring injury. I would pick him up again. I mean, he's going to be coming back, and we'll see if you have room for him. Dawson Knox off the bye might be available. He's only owned in about less than 10% of leagues, so he might be live play. And then Ricky Seals-Jones made a couple splash plays for the Browns, so he might be out there. Now, I was telling people on the pod last week in the Slack chat, if you're desperate at tight end, Darren Fells, man, on the Houston Texans. He led the Texans in receiving yards this week, and the week before he had 2 touchdowns. He's a 33-year-old giant, 6'7" target. Deshaun Watson sees him there. He trusts him. That is a guy that if you're just totally decimated at tight end, it's a horrible, ugly play, but it got me 15 points in my tight end premium league this past week. And then I see Mike Gesicki popping up. I mean, you could try him with Fitzpatrick. It's a little bit better in Miami, so he would be a deep desperation. And then Shane likes Luke Wilson a lot. Luke Wilson will be the Seattle's tight end now that Will Dissly is gone. So you might want to give him a shot there. I'm trying to think if there's anyone else there. If there's someone that we missed. Frank Gore is out there in the running back. That's what Shane texted me as well. He said that he's been viable. We all know, but I think he's over 50% owned. If there's anyone that we missed, you can send us. Last week in the Slack chat, one of the listeners smartly told us about Adrian, or remind us that we missed Adrian Peterson, and then we immediately got back on and started pumping him in the Slack chat as well. He ended up getting you a good non-PPR day. Our friends at OverlayDFS.com are helping sponsor this podcast. If you haven't played, tired of having to pick the perfect player at every position in order to win your salary cap DFS league, tired of having the salary cap lineup out of the running to win the money in the first 5 minutes, does playing salary cap DFS feel like a job and not a game? Want a fantasy game where the pros with 150 lineups and computer programs can't dominate? OverlayDFS.com has a new revolutionary start-sit game. They're the home of the single-entry GPP. Basically, this is how it works. I'm going to put down the read and tell you guys how it works. Overlay DFS, they give you a choice of 30 matchups. For example, they'll have Saquon Barkley versus Christian McCaffrey if they're playing each other. And then you pick who's going to have more fantasy points. It's the ultimate sit-start game. And you have to pick 12 of those matchups. So in a given week, you can go 8-4, you can go 7-5, 9-3. and the top 10% in your group, in your contest, win 9 times the buy-in. And if you get a perfect 12 out of 12, more or less you get the progressive jackpot, which keeps growing each way and rolling over. So most weeks they say 8 and 4 will get it done. You'll be able to get 9 extra buy-in. But on some weeks, 7 and 5 will get it done. So check out our friends at overlaydfs.com. They've been generous enough to sponsor this podcast, the Waiver Wire podcast. All right, everybody. We'll be back Wednesday with the Geeks Vegas Lines podcast. That's going to be where we break down all of the games from a DFS perspective. And we use the Vegas lines to indicate where the smart plays are going to be. We recorded our NBA podcast, our season-long basketball podcast today. That's up on DFS Army's website, and we'll continue to give you a waiver wire, quick waiver wire podcast each week. I'll try to put up a sheet for those of you who can't listen or watch on the stream. All right, talk to you soon, everybody. Enjoy the game tonight, Monday Night Football.